Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, if you'll open your Bibles with me and turn there to our Lord's great Sermon on the Mount as he gives his Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? That is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Focusing on verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. And then wondering, what happens to the salt that has lost its flavor? What happens to it? The statement is made that it is tossed aside to be trodden underfoot of men. It's impurities that causes salt to lose its taste. Clay, sand, other things might make the salt useless for its purpose. Impurities cause men to be useless or good for nothing. Jesus is here speaking of sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. A statement is made by the Apostle John about what makes a man impure. 1 John 2 and verse 16. Starting in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the things that make us impure. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, we look at the lust of the flesh as seen by the Apostle Paul, who lived in a world much like our own, a world where everyone was out for their own pleasure, for their own wealth and fame. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, Paul states boldly, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Ye shall die, ye shall live. What do you do if you want to die in this sense? You live after the flesh. What do you do if you want to not die? You put to death the things of the flesh. That's what that word mortify means. Mortify the deeds of the body. That is, you don't do those things anymore. You put them out of your lives. You live lives that are pure if you want to live. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Things don't come out of a person without there being something behind it. You fill your mind with peace and goodness and righteousness and truth, what's going to come out? It's not going to be sin that comes out. But what if you find someone that is living a life of sin? What have they put in their mind? They put in their mind lust and filth and inordinate desires. Things that they ought not have are filling their minds. We need to avoid such. We are the salt of the earth. We must not lose our flavor. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul is trying to repair the breaches of the ship of the church in Corinth. They're sinking, and they're sinking fast. Paul says there are problems in that particular congregation. Everything from denominationalism to impurity in the families. And he's going to tell us in a moment what we need to do with regard to some of that. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. He says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." The lust of the flesh. What should we do when we're faced with it? We need to run. Get away from it as fast as we can. But so many people like to walk a line that they have imagined in their minds between the truth and the false, between sin and purity. Get away from the line. Refuse the line. Get away from it as far as you can. He says, flee fornication, those things that make us impure. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, if you will. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Paul writing to the churches of Galatia about some things that they needed to change in those churches. And he says this, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He is the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. These are the things that make us impure. Notice he ends that list with, and such like. Taking into account the inventions of man in the future, taking into account the inventions of man in the past that God did not put in the Scripture, but and such like covers it. Things that make us impure. These are the things we must rid our lives of if we want to be the salt of the earth. Then there is the lust of the eyes. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. We as people have a tendency to look at what other people have, and we begin to covet. They have a better car than I do. I need to get me a car like that. How can I get that car? Maybe I need to neglect my family for a while, work more hours, and get me a car like that. I need that bass boat. I need this. I need that. I want. What do I need to do to get it? Covetousness. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Take heed and beware of covetousness. It overcomes us at times. We find ourselves leaving the paths of God because there are things out there that look shiny, that look appealing. And it's nothing wrong with having things. But when those things replace God, when you put them first, instead of the things of God, they become idols. And we bow down to them by serving them. Well, they do nothing for us. Oh, yes, we're pleasant for a while. It's pleasant for a while, but how many times do you see someone with a bass boat that they haven't used in 4 or 5 years, and they finally realize that boat is just a hole in the water you pour money into? That's what it becomes. And they've given their lives to that thing, and they've left God for something that's losing value every day it sits in your driveway. Keep yourselves from covetousness. How much better would it have been to put those hours into serving your family, into serving the church, into spreading the gospel, into service to mankind, into study of God's word. We need to keep ourselves from covetousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. There is a good way to look at something, and there is an evil way. We look around us and we see people of the opposite sex, but there is a right way to look at someone and a wrong way. Jesus here talks about the wrong way. We need to think about the definition of lust for a minute. It is the inordinate desire. we're young, we want to live with someone. We want to have a marriage. We want to have a family and all that that involves. And we desire a mate. But then there is the inordinate desire for someone else. An inordinate desire is lust. As in, could I get away with that? Could I get away with these thoughts? Could I get away with that action toward the opposite sex? That's what Jesus is talking about here. And it's lust of the eyes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The lust of the eyes. The looking at someone with the idea, you know, if I had the opportunity, I would do this or that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. And we're talking about the lust of the flesh and what we see around us with the wrong attitude. We need to come to the idea of what's required of us when that happens, because we know it happens all the time. But the Bible doesn't leave us without the formula for taking care of that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify, therefore. Mortify means to put it to death. And in this case, it's a violent death. We are ripping those things out of our lives and casting them from us. We are taking action to get rid of those kinds of ideas in our hearts. The lust of the eyes will keep us from heaven. Keep us from being the salt of the earth. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 continues with that idea of what we are to do when we have a problem with lust. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Very simple. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. Here it is. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Ask yourself whether you're content with the things that you have. Now, as I said before, there's nothing wrong with buying a better car if that's what you need. Nothing wrong with having more room in your house if that's what you need. But living the life that says, I need more and more, that I need this in order to have something over on my neighbor, that kind of life is a life of covetousness. And we need to put that to death. Put to death the lust of the eyes. Be content with the things that you have. Now, if it's easy, you've got enough money to buy something and it's for your pleasure, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. But doing it at the expense of the things of God, doing it at the expense of your family, doing it at the expense of your good name, those things are wrong. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, these are the impurities that leave us behind and cause us to be cast out because the salt has not kept its flavor. Then there is the pride of life. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Our Lord tells the story of a man who had this problem. This was his problem. Luke 12, verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. He didn't have need of anything. When he found that out that he didn't have big enough barns, what should he have been thinking? Perhaps, who needs my my overage. Who needs this bumper crop? Someone else that doesn't have what I have, perhaps they can use it. But that wasn't his idea. His idea was me, me, me. I can take care of myself. I don't need God or anyone else. Look at how much I've put together. And he was not rich toward God, nor toward his neighbor. What have we been told all of our lives? What has the Bible told us? That we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength. And our neighbor as ourselves, those first two commands, he thought nothing of. The pride of life. In Revelation 3 and verse 17, Revelation 3 and verse 17, our Lord, through the Apostle John, speaks to the seven churches of Asia, which every one of them are just like we are. We have bits of each of these. We have faithful in churches, and we have those that are unfaithful, those that have grown lukewarm, and those that are on fire. Speaks to all of us. Revelation 3 and verse 17, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Looking at people who have decided, I don't need anything. I don't need Bible study. I don't need fellowship. I don't need this or that that God has declared it's good for all of us. Don't need, don't need, don't need. God says you have needs. Needs that only He can satisfy. But if you take the attitude, I can do it all. If you take the attitude that I don't need God, and that can happen whether in word or deed, then you're poor and blind and wretched and naked. The pride of life comes before us many times in our lives. Sometimes we forget to kneel and pray. Sometimes we forget there's someone on our side. Sometimes we forget what's been laid out for us. Even the poor have this problem. They forget that God has given avenues whereby we might be cared for. John chapter 6. Verses 66 through 68. John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68. I don't know what the thoughts of Jesus when he heard this statement, but I know my thoughts. I think when these things were stated, it's such a large truth that we need to pay attention. Jesus had given his sermon about the bread of life, and his audience was having a hard time taking it in, that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood in order to be part of him. And they were leaving, the audience was. They were going to find someone else to teach them because what Jesus said just didn't click. They were leaving. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. With regard to our spiritual welfare, there is no pride of life. We cannot have it in our lives. We cannot have it in our hearts. We become useless, good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men, because only Jesus has the words of life. Only Jesus can tell us how to get to heaven. Only Jesus knows the way. Many people have said, well, this religion is as good as this religion. They all go to the same place. But you know, from what I've studied, they don't claim to go to the same place. They don't all claim to come from any place but man. In fact, most of the world's religions don't claim that God inspired what their holy books say. And it's all from man. But Jesus has the words of eternal life. If we desire those words, we cannot afford pride of life. We cannot afford to say, I'm good. I don't need that. Because we do. Thou hast the words of eternal life, Peter says. James chapter 1 and verse 17. We need to realize something with regard to what God gives us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The pride of life causes us to reject God's gifts and to say, I have no need of anything. But we need to realize we're poor and blind and wretched and naked. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Get rid of the lust of the flesh. Get rid of the lust of the eyes. And get rid of the pride of life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. Peter gives us some great advice here as he writes some of the last things he ever wrote to mankind before his martyrdom. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16. Starting at verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. To be holy is to be pure. To be pure is to cast out all impurity. To make sure you can stand before God. You cannot stand before God in the judgment in your sins. Your sins have to be cast out. You cannot stand before God with impurity. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. That great apostle, leaving us so many things that are needful to us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, takes the impurities out of the salt, and makes it pure, so that we are worth something to God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to be cleansed? Sometimes it takes repentance on our part. J.W. McGarvey, a preacher of the Restoration era back in the 1800s, I believe he died in the early 1900s, but he wrote his great commentary on the book of Acts in 1865. He had a long and fruitful history. And one of the things that he left behind is this statement. The hardest thing is to get people to repent. Because we have our own wills and our own desires. We're prideful. We want what we want. We want what we look at. We want what makes us feel good. And repentance fights against that. Every step of the way. The hardest thing, but it's a necessary thing. If you find something coming between you and God, you must repent. You must change your mind, resulting in a change of life. Head a different direction. Do it God's way. Be pure. Be able to stand before Him. There may be someone here this very evening that has that particular need. Ask God for forgiveness right there in your seat. But if it's a public matter, make it known publicly that you have repented so that we can pray with you, that you can remove any influence that you've had over others because of your bad behavior, because of your bad beliefs, because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, oh, it's time to start that journey. It's time to start the journey for heaven. Without the remission of sins, there is no way to stand before God as the salt of the earth, as pure, as holy. You must be holy to stand before Him, and you cannot do it in your sins. If we can assist you with your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?